What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
How's it going, party people? This is Remix. This is an episode that I've been looking forward to ever since we started this podcast.
Right.
I absolutely love video game remixes. It's probably one of my favorite genres of music, period.
Definitely.
Which some people might think is a little nerdy, but I am very proud to say that.
Well, the thing that's cool about video game music is a lot of it taps into other things like classical roots, rock music, pop music, usually things that we don't associate with this type of electronic remixing. But most of us are so accustomed to hearing these songs with synthesized instruments. So it really allows like something like this to just really go all out.
Yeah, I can't say how excited I am to do this episode. It's just going to be so much fun. What I think is so great about video game remixes, why it's such a perfect marriage, is that the music is already at such a high level, and for most of these remixes, they're classic tunes, so they're from the 8 and 16-bit era. So what's fun is the music was always great, but usually the sounds were kind of crappy. And so for the first time, you're able to hear, you know, them kind of fatten up these sounds and make them so exciting to listen to.
Yeah, I mean, and rhythmically, just so much more interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's so cool about this is the first episode we've done. Maybe there was that other one where we opened with that really, like, funky track.
Yeah.
But, I gotta say, this is, like, I've never felt more like an actual, like, radio host, like a DJ.
Yeah, this was
so cool.
I don't know if we're gonna play another dubstep track on this podcast, but that was actually from Mega Man 2. That was Bubble Man Crowd Control Dubstep Remix.
Nice.
By Control the Crowd. That's who did that one. So, kind of a quirky way to start the episode, but fitting. So there's going to be lots of techno on this episode. And one thing to note here is that we should probably talk about ocremix.org. That is by far the biggest video game remix community that exists online. So if you're interested in video game remixes, quite a few of the tracks we're playing today you can find at ocremix. So we should just give them a little shout out here.
And another thing I'd like to say about that word remix, in this context in the podcast, we're not limiting it strictly to music like that, where it actually sounds like a, you know, stereotypical remix, which is what you might think. We'll have all different types and varieties of remixes on this show.
Yeah, so obviously since this was remixes, most of the tracks are not in a video game, are by amateur artists, because we thought we really wanted to kind of to feature something different and to give them more of the spotlight. But there are a few tracks, like Will mentioned, that are actually from video games. And you may not think of it at first, but there are lots of game soundtracks that remix previous songs. So,
right.
So we're going to feature kind of a nice variety here.
Sweet. So to start us off, we're going to be heading to the jungle with Donkey Kong.
Yeah, this is a remix of a track from Donkey Kong Country, and this is by Disco Dan, who is very active in the OC remix scene, so you can actually find this track on OC Remix. This is remixing the aquatic ambiance theme that Dave
right.
Wise composed in the first Donkey Kong Country game. This is Riptide. Thank you. You're listening to Riptide by Disco Dan, originally composed by Dave Wise from Donkey Kong Country. It's such a cool combination because you have this really relaxing melody and chords and pads with this rave dance beat underneath it, which is, it's still relaxing though.
You know what I love about this is it's so obvious that, what was the name of the guy who did this?
Disco Dan.
You know, it's so obvious that Disco Dan really had a lot of respect for David Weiss's original source material, just in the way that he starts this off. He dedicates so much time of this track to just setting up the ambience that is created in the original, and I think he actually exceeds what's actually in the game, because he has nicer fidelity string samples, and he has more contrasting dynamics, and the notes are actually held longer, so when he has those strings come in and just really build and crescendo, and then there's a chord change in the decrescendo, so you really sort of get that push and pull, and it really sort of emphasizes how beautiful, like what beautiful harmonics they're really accenting here. And then when you drop that sort of like consistent like house music style like beat on top of it, it's like Carl was saying, it's somehow the combination really works, because this tune also has a really great melody, but it's able to feel relaxing and groovy at the same time.
It's a combination that I wish I heard more often. And yeah, I totally agree. He definitely had a lot of respect for Dave. And I think what's really cool is how much he takes his time getting into this piece, and like you said, setting up the mood. And yeah, it's just a very unique remix, and it's kind of subtle. I don't know. I just got lost in this song when I was listening to it. I just completely got submerged in the music.
I love his use of more 8-bit sounds, because I think a lot of people listening to this, that's what really makes it feel video gamey to them. They're like trying to overcompensate for the level of fidelity in the instruments they have by trying to make an even more archaic sound than the original game.
Exactly.
And I think that's actually really effective. Like a lot of those arpeggios, like the like they're sort of using those more 8-bit sounds.
One of my favorite things about this particular remix is those really kind of fast sequenced rhythmic lines throughout the whole thing. Like those, man, those really sound European, but they just,
and they're
fit
very
so
like
well.
Almost like very plucky and very short. A lot of attack, but not much body or sustain, which is really nice, because you get a wide variety of instruments, not just in sound, but in terms of what function they're fulfilling.
And how appropriate is it that the melody is played on a piano with a bunch of delay? Like, that's just like such a good choice there, because you could have done almost any instrument, but keeps it simple, you know, remains true to the original.
Exactly.
Yeah. So awesome track. Good way to start off the episode. Man, we're really going to kind of up the ante for this next one. This is definitely my favorite remixer of all time. I've discovered her, I don't know how many years ago, but she was pretty active on Newgrounds, which is probably the second most active online video game remix scene. Her name is Paragon X9. She's from the Netherlands, and she does quite a few video game remixes, and they're incredibly popular for good reason. We're going to start off with a track originally from Mario Kart 64, Rainbow Road. This is a remix that Paragon X9 did called Rainbow Destructor.
Lap, 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 lap
So awesome. That is Rainbow Destructor by Paragon X9, obviously from Mario Kart 64. And what's so great about this particular remix is that it starts off, obviously, you know, very true to the original. And for me, it showcases and elevates the melody and harmony and how they work together more than the original. And
And
that is one of the greatest things about video game remixes, is when they can elevate what the original music was trying to do. And so this remix has that, but then that whole second section takes you on a journey, and that's really where the destructor of this track, Rainbow Destructor, comes in.
Right.
And it's so much fun, but it's just really great how it comes back to this loop again with a different instrument here.
Yeah, it's really insane how much stuff is in this. I mean, like Carl was saying, it totally elevates the melody, and listening to it
again... I love
again,
those triplet kick drums
this
there.
This totally is one of the best video game melodies. I mean, and there's so many sections, and each one of them is just more timeless than the last, but by giving both the melody and harmony that sort of very pulsing lead, synth lead channel, and that they both have the same instrument and they're also mixed the balance is very similar, it sort of makes them cut out over the other instruments, and having that consistent sort of rhythmic backbeat almost helps to bring out the melody a little bit more.
I want to talk a little bit just about Paragon X9, her amazing ability and her masterful use of percussion and just rhythmic sequenced instruments. It's so incredibly frantic and exciting and such a joy to listen to. I mean, especially her drums. I mean, I just feel like I could listen to just her drum tracks and just have a great time with it. She's just, I don't know, she's an absolute master, and it really is its own art form. So I think I'm really glad that we have an episode to kind of showcase some of these amateur artists' work.
Right. Yeah, one of the things that I really liked about that one is the part with
it
was like it would change
the phase
of those instruments, and it did it to multiple instruments and it would just like cycle back and forth, and that was so cool. Like, she was so confident to just stay on that because she executed it just perfectly. It really sounds really legit, like, especially for the time this was made. You know, video game remixes were not as common as they are now, and she really knocked it out of the park.
I mean, she influenced a lot of people too, which we're going to hear later. So we're going to move on to another one of my favorite remix artists that I discovered not too long ago. This is Retro Remix Review. I've actually talked about them on the podcast quite a bit, so I'm really excited to actually get to play one of their tracks. I think these are a couple LA musicians. I think one of them's a producer, one of them's like a performer and songwriter, and they got together and just had this idea to make a video game remix project featuring a lot of great actual musicians. So the first track of theirs we're going to play is music originally from Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse. This is The Beginning by Retro Remix Review. Beginning from Dracula's Curse by Retro Remix Review.
Ah, nice. This is just a great remix, but the thing that's so striking about it is obviously these guitars just sound fantastic, but what I think is so impressive is that it's so faithful to the original source material, almost like note for note, rhythm for rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
All the cool things that are happening rhythmically and with some of the syncopation and a lot of the cool stuff that's going on that you may have really responded to is all there in the original version. They're basically just taking the three channels and like expanding them to the various guitar lines, and obviously they're adding like power chords and a little bit more voicing here and there, but I mean, as far as the melody and harmonies and bass, like, it's all like note for note what's happening in the NES version.
At least in that first loop. I mean, once I get to this part, I think they kind of have fun, take a solo. But yeah, you're totally right about that. And that's just one of the examples where it's like, they didn't need to add anything because all the content was there. We don't need to mess with this, guys. All we need to do is we can faithfully recreate this in a band setting, because a lot of that NES music, like the Mega Mans and a little bit of the Castlevania stuff, was trying to be a rock band, you know? So it's so fun to actually hear that finally, you know, fully realized. And yeah, in all the Retro Remix Review, they have two albums. You can actually find them on iTunes, and I highly, highly recommend checking them out. But every single track is so tastefully done, and many feature real instrumentalists, which is pretty rare in the video game remix scene. So that's something that kind of sets this particular artist apart from the crowd. But yeah, awesome remix here. The next thing we're going to play is a track that was brought to our attention by Andrew. So thanks, Andrew, for showing this to us. This is a song called Burning Heat, and this was originally from, I think, Gradius 2. And this remix was done by Mr. T with Modokai F. Let's check out Burning Heat. You're listening to Burning Heat by Mr. T with Modokai F, originally from Gradius 2. Awesome remix.
Nice, yeah. This track, I mean, like all great video game remixes, really brings out the power in the chords and the melodies, and really, like Carl said earlier, just fattens everything up and makes it so much more lively. I mean, and of no fault to the original, they couldn't make it as loud and proud as these type of remixes can. I mean, there's no way they could have done even a fraction of what they can do with percussion and like synth leads on the NES. So it's really impressive to hear this version. And I do like how they harken back to that 8-bit version.
Yeah, again, they're giving respect to the original. And it's just so fun to hear that little 8-bit breakdown and then come back with the drum fill after it.
Right.
This is actually featured on Dance Dance Revolution's 7th mix.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting to note that. But yeah, really great remix. So thanks, Andrew, for bringing that to our attention. And yeah, once again, if you have a particular track you'd like us to play, feel free to drop us a line on our Facebook page or our blog, and we'll be happy to accommodate you. I'm really excited about this next one. This is a track by T. Lopez, and I discovered him on YouTube. He's a pretty awesome remixer, and actually, he's just a video game composer now. I think he started to work on some kind of independent games. But yeah, he mostly does Sonic remixes, which is how I discovered him, because I'm very involved in the kind of the Sonic music community. T. Lopez, and I'm going to play a track originally from Knuckles Chaotix called Door into Summer. And we have actually played this original track. This game came out for the 32X. This is T. Lopez, Door into Summer.
We'll be right back.
really cool synth solo right here. This is Door Into Summer by T. Lopez, originally from Knuckles Chaotix. This one is really all about the incredibly polished production and awesome sounding instrument sounds.
Right.
That's really what makes this piece so exciting to listen to. The music is good, and I remember the original track was definitely, it was good, but this just, what makes it so fun to listen to is the really tight drums, the really great bass playing. I think it's all fake. I think actually in some comments I saw him that he actually doesn't know how to play an instrument, so everything you hear is actually fake VSTs, which is incredibly impressive to me because right. This sounds so realistic.
Yeah, I mean the artificial performance that you're hearing is very authentic, and the sounds are really nice, especially for those brass things.
Yeah.
And what's cool is they don't necessarily sound 100% real, but they totally don't sound synthesized.
No.
If that makes any sense, it's almost like there's like a perfect balance. It's like a technological trumpet.
Yeah.
But the amount of expressiveness he's able to get with like the attacks sounds very authentic, and I don't know, something about this arrangement totally services the chords and melody a lot better because there's some very jazzy things happening, and also the melody isn't totally in your face. So what's nice is opposed to some of the other ones where other tracks we played where they sort of fatten the melody up with a lot of synth leads and, you know, a very powerful attack, this sort of does the opposite. It gives it a very reverberating sort of synthy
right.
ding, 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 almost like a pad instrument that's playing the melody. But what's nice about that is it lets you realize that it's like, oh, the melody isn't necessarily the focus of this track, you know, it's just sort of there to add color and to
yeah.
accentuate some of the chords that are happening. And it's, I think this track really does a nice job of servicing the things about the song that are really effective and really good.
One thing that I'm very impressed with T. Lopez, I've listened to a lot of his remixes, he's Portuguese. He just has such an amazing sense of jazz, R&B, and Latin, which is one of the reasons why he's so into the sonic music and why he does it so well. He just has a really good sense of that music, that's why a lot of these remixes are so incredibly tasteful and authentic and just really polished. Everything from the production to just the arrangement and all of the choices that he's making are just spot on. So I have a lot of respect for T. So we're going to feature another track from him later on today. We're going to move on to a track by Zircon, who is probably one of the more well-known video game remixers out there. This is a track, music originally from Super Mario World. This is called Monstrous Turtles, and this is another track that you can find on OC Remix, and this is remixing the classic castle theme from Mario World. So
nice.
Here is Monstrous Turtles. How cool is it that they incorporated the actual SNES sound effect there? Monstrous Turtles by Zircon.
Oh my god.
Absolutely masterful remix. Definitely a very close second to track of the week this week.
Yeah, I regret my pick. Oh my gosh, they just alluded to Forest of Illusion there.
Yeah, yeah, this Zircon is an amazing remixer, amazing artist. This track makes all the right choices. The tempo, the beat is absolutely perfect. When they go to the fast arpeggio, I mean, that sounds perfect in this kind of synth-sequenced arpeggiated techno song. It absolutely sounds perfect. And finally getting the church organ to play that melody with the harmony, it feels like...
Oh, those chords that they just played there, they changed up the chords, but they...
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. And now they're doing the Forest of Illusion thing.
Yeah.
This is brilliant. This is really fantastic. I mean, I don't even want to say anything because the music is so effective. It really speaks for itself. Gosh, this is just so much fun to listen to.
Yeah, this is an incredibly well-known video game remix, so I guess it's not a disservice that we're not making this track of the week. I think a lot of people know this track. I know Zircon is really popular in this whole video game remix scene, and definitely in the OC remix scene. But yeah, you can't say enough about this track. It's always been one of my favorite video game remixes. I remember when I first heard it, it just immediately clicked with me. It just made all the right choices. It's badass. That's the only word I can use to describe it. Awesome. So we're going to move on to a track from Smash Brothers Melee. This is the first track today that's from an actual video game. So we talked about that earlier. We kind of want to show that side. This is Dreamland, also known as Kirby's Theme. And it took me a while to figure out what this is actually from. This is actually originally from a Super Nintendo game called Kirby Superstar. And it was originally composed by Jun Ishikawa. And there's a level in that game where you have to race, and this is kind of the music you hear during the race, but it's definitely more well-known in the Smash Brothers series. So here is Dreamland. Classic piece of video game music right there. That's Dreamland from Super Smash Bros. Melee by Hirokazu Ando, but originally composed by Jun Ishikawa from the game Kirby Superstar, and very, very faithful to the original. But yeah, I love how many different melodic ideas there are in this song. There's like three or four different sections, and they all keep going. They keep the excitement going, and it really makes sense now that I know it's from a race level. It really has that kind of up-tempo, frantic feel to it, but it kind of has folk song elements to it, but retains its own kind of musical style and very Japanese style at the same time. But just really melodic, really rhythmic. It's just great video game music.
Oh, it's lovely.
I love all those fat rhythms. Yeah, this part here probably is my favorite section of the whole song.
It's such a consistent song melodically, which is nice because the first time I heard it was when I played a Melee.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so nice about it is it felt like a brand new song, like a brand new video game classic that I'd never heard. But when you hear it done up with these instruments, it actually made it a little bit more special because I was used to hearing really melodic video game music in the 8 and 16-bit era. And for Melee, I was used to hearing remixes of songs that I already knew and loved, but this is one that I'd never heard before. So to hear it in this context, it was really quite special because I sort of felt like I was discovering
a lost gem,
but in a sort of more modern presentation.
Yeah, so yeah, Hirokazu Ando did a good job of arranging this, but
great harmonies.
But yeah, it's very limber. You know, the chord choices, the way the melody jumps around, it's a very limber piece, but it feels very natural. And like you said, like the first time I heard it, it felt familiar to me, and I loved it right away. It was one of the most immediate pieces of music.
It also does something that I really like. It stays on the chord as long as possible.
Yeah.
It doesn't do any unnecessary things. Like, there are certain points where I felt like, oh, maybe it could have gone to a diminished chord there. But no, it really does a nice job of feeling simplistic because it stays on whatever chord as long as possible until the melody lands in a note that really wouldn't be pleasing to stay on the chord any longer.
Yeah, definitely. Just a great song. It is time to move on to our track of the week. This is another Paragon X9 track. No surprise. Yeah, no surprise there. She's absolutely amazing. This is originally from Super Double Dragon for the Super Nintendo, and I think we have actually played the song. She calls this Super Double Dragon number 5, also known as Snapdragon. This is one of her most popular songs, and for me, it's my favorite. I think both of our favorite video game remixes.
I've heard it in a few Flash games, actually.
Yep, that's actually where I think I first heard this track, too. So here is Snapdragon by Paragon X9. Can't get better than that. This is Snapdragon by Paragon X9.
I love that shuffle part right there.
Yeah, when it goes to the 12-8 feel, that is obviously the coolest part about the piece. And I think anyone listening to that who hasn't heard this would just be like, oh my gosh, that's cool. And that was not in the original. So that is one of my favorite things about this, is that she just makes that really great choice to spice it up and to change it up completely. And because at first you don't think it's going to harken back to the main theme. You think it's going to go into a new section. But when you hear that main theme come back in 12-8, it's just like, you're reaching a new plateau there.
Yeah, so many interesting things happening rhythmically. I mean, just in every instrument, not just percussion, like this synth instrument, and the fact that it's changing the phase also, yeah. it's just excellent. She's just such a master of her craft. She really knows how to bring the best out of melody and harmony, and she really knows what instrument.
Yeah, like
this
instrument here that she uses for their lead is a very common instrument that's been around for a long time on a lot of kind of general MIDI keyboards.
And I feel like that's what it's like hearkening back to. It's like trying to have that sense of like familiarity.
Yeah, because I've used this instrument years ago when I was doing my crappy whatever, you know, video game songs. But here it sounds so good. Like, it's the perfect choice for this melody. And the way that the delay works is just masterful, so... And again, her drums, you can't beat her drum. Her drum beats are so incredibly exciting. We're going to move on to a track called I Mushroom. And this is music originally from Sonic and Knuckles from Mushroom Hill Zone. This is a remix by Gamebox. Thank you. Very cool choice to turn it into a Middle Eastern feel here. I Mushroom by Gamebox, and this can also be found on ocremix.org.
Yeah, this is very nice, very tasteful.
Very sparse.
Doing a lot with this melody, which surprises me, because this was never my absolute favorite Sonic track by any means, but
yeah.
He really gets a lot of mileage out of that melody, and by changing it to that sort of harmonic minor mm-hmm. scale right there and doing that, I guess Carl described like Middle Eastern sound.
He incorporates some of the jazz in that middle section.
Yeah. Also, I liked that middle section, though, or like maybe the second section,
yeah.
where it sort of simplified it. It took out the jazzy chords and it mm-hmm. took out the complicated melody and it simplified it.
Yeah.
And I think it's really nice. It's like they're really exploring everything they can do, you know, changing up the progression but keeping the melody, changing up everything, changing the scale from major to minor. Like it's really pushing what you could do with this track. And
this
I
is actually
cool.
This is actually part of a OC Remix album called Project Chaos, which is just like a Sonic and Knuckles album. So OC Remix occasionally will actually have an album, and it'll be very cooperative, so you'll have each track will be by a different remixer. And Gamebox is really quirky and cool. He has another track on this album called Robotnik Radio, and so it's taking basically the Robotnik's boss theme, but it's like a loungy elevator song. So he's just does some really kind of quirky, interesting, unique things. So.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Next, we're moving up to something a little bit closer to home. This is actually a track that our very own Carl Brueggemann devised right here in the old Brugge Mansion. You know, what's cool about this track is this soundtrack that it's from Rockman and Forte. We've both talked so much on this podcast of how much both Carl and I really respond to it, and the music of Naoshi Mitsuda is just so fantastic and jazzy. But I think if we all could agree, the one thing that it's lacking in is a universal appeal. The music is mm-hmm. so good, but something about that late era of 16-bit instruments, they were getting the sample quality so good that it actually started to fall into that territory of sounding a little bit too good to be cute and started becoming like an imperfect simulation.
Yeah.
And it made it sound a little bit like elevator music. And what I really like is this is actually Carl's using the very opening stage from Rockman and Forte, which is one of our favorite tracks that we've ever played on the podcast. But he's sort of enhancing it because he uses real instruments. You know, he uses some electric piano, some synths, and I'll let you take a listen to it because it's really quite impressive. And in my opinion, I think it really enhances the song.
Thanks, Will. This is Museum from Rockman and Forte,
created by Carl Brueggemann. I'm liking that solo. We're listening to the Museum opening stage remixed by KGB 525. Now, what's so cool about this is like I said, Carl really had a nice job of choosing the instruments. Especially to me, the thing that sticks out are those drums, man. I mean, really nice choice in the type of samples you use. They're very good for a remix, and they actually, the timbres that they're sort of really reverberating in remind me a lot of the Paragon X9 drums, mm-hmm. and also the busyness of them in the sort of exciting nature of, like, the artificial performance also reminds me of Paragon X9.
Yeah, I used Addictive drums for these drums, and I actually talked about that in our Yuzo Koshiro episode. I noticed that he also used it for some of his DS soundtracks.
Yeah, but what's so cool about this is just one of the greatest video game melodies, and the chords are just so jazzy, and there's so much rhythmic syncopation going on, and everything that could work works in this track. I mean, the bass line is so melodic, the melody is so melodic, the chords are just so gorgeous and beautiful.
Yeah, I just tried to be faithful to the original and just try to... If Niyoshi were to make this in a kind of a fully realized modern version, this is kind of what he might do. So that's kind of what's my thinking behind this.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think it really helps your remix that you picked one of the greatest video game songs of all time.
Yep.
That
it was an
not
easy
known
job,
by many people. So it's like, if you tell people, oh yeah, I made this, I mean, it's really quite impressive because the music behind it is just so dense and just really fantastic.
Awesome. So we're going to move on to another retro remix review track. And this one is very interesting. I love this. This is from Super Mario World. This is a medley of the Overworld BGM and the ending. And what's really cool is this is like an authentic jazz piece. So this is obviously real musicians. You have a real pianist, I think a bass player and a drummer, I believe. So just a trio. Retro remix review, a Super Mario World medley. Listening to Mario World Medley by Retro Remix Review. So fun to feature that incredibly authentic jazz. Really awesome piano playing there. Yeah, it's just so fun because...
Wait, this is my favorite video game song ever. We gotta fade this back
up. Yeah, we'll fade this back up for the ending here for Will.
Oh, I'm gonna start tearing up.
Fight the urge.
God, that Koji Kondo.
He's getting funky with it, Will.
You know what this really reminds me of? I just gotta say it. It reminds me of the Vince Guaraldi, Charlie Brown, Peanuts music. Like, especially that first one. I mean, it totally sounds like it.
And part of it is the same kind of a trio, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The piano trio, and then they're being very funky with it.
But also his playing is, really reminds me of Vince Guaraldi, and it's so cool. I love how jazzy he's making it, but it doesn't feel like, you know, sometimes when people mess with, you know, like, the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, there's not much he has to do with
this. This guy's really tasteful.
He's not much you really have to do to change it, because it is so jazzy to begin with, you know? It is kind of that show-tuning music, so there's really not much he has to do to just extend the chords just a little bit to make it more truly jazzy.
But that's what I like. I feel like he's very tasteful. He's yeah. not changing really important things, but the things that he's changing, it actually benefits the song mm-hmm. that he is. And, oh, God, this music is just so damn good. It's yeah. just... It's another example of it's like they're really benefited by the type of song that they chose to remix, you mm-hmm. know?
Exactly. Yeah, kind of similar to that Rockman one. Their job is easy. This part is so cool. Check this out.
I love the kind of sporadic places in which the chords come in. It's really mm-hmm. nice.
Yeah, really genius comping there. Yeah, it's cool they went to double time there. So we could nerd out about that piece for a long time, but we're going to move on here. Well, this is a track from a game called Gunbound, which I believe is like a PC online game. And this is a track called Metromine, and it is by KFNX, who is another Newgrounds artist. So here is Metromine. This is Metromine by KFNX, music from the game Gunbound. And one thing I just want to note about this is incredibly influenced by Paragon X9, without a doubt. And actually, there was a time when this was credited incorrectly to Paragon X9, so I think some people just heard it and were like,
also,
oh, it sounds like her.
This like shuffle part also
exactly.
sounds a lot like what she did for the Super Double Dragon song.
Yeah, so I mean, it's obvious that she had a really big influence on a lot of people in this scene, but this is a great remix, you know, so you can't really fault him too much for this. But yeah, I'm not familiar with Gunbound, but this is an awesome song with really nice chords, and I love the suspension.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yep.
One thing it keeps distracting me while I'm listening to it. I just can't stop focusing on the drums. Like, mm-hmm. the snare just sounds so papery, but I really like it. It has that really nice buzzy quality that really catches your attention.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's the thing about drums is they are distracting. Sometimes you just kind of focusing on them, but
yeah.
it's not a problem.
Honestly, that whole time I felt like I was just listening to the drums.
Yeah, and again, it's still enjoyable to listen to, yeah. We're going to move on to another actual video game piece. This was in Super Mario All-Stars. Kind of a surprising choice when you have a remix episode. I bet a lot of you may not have been thinking about that, but yeah.
That's why we did it. We wanted to surprise you, keep you on the edge of your seat. I want you to just jump out in the air and just like freak out, be like, what?
Koji definitely did remixes of NES tracks in this game. We're going to play the Underworld music from the All-Stars version of Mario 1, which was kind of an important version for a lot of people because it was the first time, other than in the Mario 3, it was the first time that you heard nice-sounding drums with it. And you got to hear more of a slap bass instrument play this classic bass line. So here is Underworld from Mario All-Stars. Underworld by Koji Kondo from Mario All-Stars.
Yeah, what's interesting about this is I feel like this works in ways that the original didn't, but it actually, to me, it loses a little bit of what makes the original so effective. Because to me, what makes the original effective is the fact that there's no backbeat.
Yep.
Those very demonic intervals really sort of sound scary and frightening, and especially since almost the entire background in the NES version is completely pitch black, I think it definitely would have frightened the player, especially at the time. But what's cool about this is the scenery is a little bit more colorful, and it's a little prettier. And I also think game players at this point were more adept to playing games, and they wouldn't be frightened like that so easily. So it was a really nice choice to add that sort of rhythmic backbeat and make this song enjoyable in an entirely new way.
And I think it's just a lot of fun because, like I said, Mario 3 was the first game where he did remix that theme. He added the drum beat, the NES drum beat. Right. But this is fun because you get to hear it with the SNES drum sounds. Yeah. So it's just
you
a lot
get
of fun.
It in really singing in those low ranges. But
yeah.
Even the SNES just has such clear overtones.
Definitely.
It's kind of fun though because you just you get so much attack and so much delay. It really does sound so like this huge underground cavern that Mario is in, and it's also they do a nice job of putting a lot of delay on every single sound effect.
Yeah, I don't know if it was intentional, but there's so many overtones in the bass here that it almost sounds like it's playing power chords the whole time. Like right. You almost hear the fifths on every single note.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not bad. So yeah, we're gonna move on to another T. Lopez track in another Sonic remix. This one he calls Labyrinth 12, and this is obviously remixing Labyrinth Zone from the original Sonic the Hedgehog composed by Masato Nakamura. So here is Labyrinth 12. This is Labyrinth 12 by T. Lopez. So awesome. It just blows me away that this guy doesn't actually play real instruments. Like, it's just his subtle knowledge of drums and what a drummer would actually do with dynamics. And
right.
Just, like, the fills are so incredibly tasteful and authentic. And this is coming from an actual drummer, and he's faking me out. So just bravo to this guy. Yeah, he's just everything, though. The bass lines, the brass lines. It's just all so well done.
Right. This is such a unique one because it...
Check this out, the drowning.
Oh, my God. Oh, sad.
That's a cool ending.
Oh, that's a really unique one because it's not doing the typical remix cliches.
Yeah.
In fact, especially how it starts, I think that really characterizes what you're about to get into. It starts with those whistles and the more cutesy instruments. And in general, what's so crazy is this type of remix you usually only hear with real musicians and performers. But
you're
what's
right.
so cool about this guy is he's channeling that, but all with samples and all fake performance.
Yeah, all VSTs, yeah.
That's really impressive that he's able to do that sincerely. I mean, not specifically with the instrument samples. I mean, they definitely don't sound 100% real.
Yeah.
But the way that he's using them is just so impressive. It really strikes me as like he has a very intimate knowledge with all of the instruments he's using, how to write for them, how a musician would actually play them, what ranges they sound good.
I think I saw one of his videos on YouTube that was actually like a Mario Land remix, which
oh,
I
dude,
should show
you. Gotta check that out.
But yeah, I highly recommend. This is T. Lopez, Lopez with an S, by the way, anyone out there. So you should definitely just go on YouTube and check him out because his remixes are a lot of fun to listen to. We're going to move on to our last Paragon X9 track of the day. And this is a track that is remixing music from Mario 64. The original track, I think, was called Koopa's Road. This is the final Bowser level, the music that you hear in that game. This is called The Alternate Route.
Thank you.
It's times like this that I wish this was a video podcast, because I wish you guys could see how much we're dancing in our chairs to this song. This is The Alternate Route by Paragon X9. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's just a testament to this melody, because all you really have here is you have the awesome drums, the really awesome active rhythmic bass line, and the melody. You don't really have much else happening, but it's so full. It's so busy.
Yeah, you know what I love is, like, with chord progressions this simple, it takes a very amazing melody to make it so iconic, because this is the type of thing that there's been so many songs that have utilized this progression, some before and some after, but this melody is so fantastic that whenever I hear that progression anytime, whether it's in a film, a pop song, a rock song, a video game song, I always immediately think of Super Mario 64, because that has the best melody, and it really, I feel like it really earns getting to, you know, almost copyright those chords and just make them such a staple, because I mean, he just knows how to write a melody.
Can I just talk a little bit about Paragon X9's work here? And
no, you're not allowed.
With her bass and drums, they're always going to be lined up so perfectly, and the amount of polish that she puts into her beats here. And when I talk about her beats, they really should be talked about drum and bass together, because they line up so well. It's just so incredibly rhythmic, and but it fits the melody too. You know, the melody fits right on top of it, and it doesn't outshine the melody, but it's just such a perfect combination.
I feel like she also chooses the right songs. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, you lose a little bit of respect for someone doing any type of remix type of thing when they pick a song that really doesn't need it, and they try to shove some of these conventions down the throat of the song. But she always just picks the right things, and it's like, oh, you know, she definitely hears something in there that can be explored.
You know, something I like about the beat of this is it's not your typical drum beat. She goes, boom, boom, get, which she puts a little bit of a spin on the classic kind of techno drum beat, which I think is just so incredibly groovy. This one makes me dance.
Also, it makes it a little bit less linear and boring.
Exactly.
It makes you kind of like jut your head at like more inconsistent times, like it's really nice.
Masterful. So this brings us to the last track we're going to talk about today, and kind of a fitting departure from most of the stuff we played. This is an orchestral piece, and this was part of the Legend of Zelda 25th anniversary CD that shipped with Skyward Sword. Featured a lot of great medleys and new orchestrations and arrangements of classic Zelda music. And we're going to play an excerpt from the actual 25th anniversary medley.
Right, and what this actually is, this is a perfectly done up version of the Dark World theme, but with full orchestration, and this is to me the greatest version of this song, and like any good remix, it totally maxes out its potential and brings it to new heights. So without further ado, this is the excerpt from the Legend of Zelda 25th Anniversary Medley.
This is the Dark World excerpt from the Legend of Zelda 25th Anniversary Medley.
And now they're touching on the main Zelda theme, which could not come at a more perfect time. I mean, this song is just absolutely rousing.
It is. One of my favorite parts about this particular arrangement is how you really build up the dun 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 so many times, and then all of a sudden dun 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 dun, there's a grand pause, and then the dun dun, and when that comes in, it's just, it's the most rousing thing ever.
Especially because I feel like they're really selling it to their audience. They know the people who are listening to this absolutely just breathe, eat, and sleep Zelda music. And so that's just one of the greatest themes that...
It's a payoff.
Yeah, I mean, it's been so long since Nintendo's paid attention to the music from Link to the Past. I mean, everyone always talks about Ocarina of Time, but to me, that was
so much of it has come from Link to the Past.
Right, but
you know?
that was such a gratifying moment to me listening to that soundtrack. Yeah. It's like, yes, because that's the one they had the grand pause for.
Because you don't hear that in later games.
Reveal. And that was one of the best Zelda themes, I mean, ever created.
And it's just weird that they don't feature that in later Zelda games, you know? It's kind of crazy.
Absolutely gorgeous. The payoff was well worth it. Well, thanks a lot for joining us today. This was so much fun. We really got to play a lot of different types of music spanning so many different generations of video game music, but they all had this common thread. But it was really nice to see how different people would do video game remixes and all the different possibilities there are.
And what I like is we got to feature from some amateur artists out there, you know. So for this podcast, you know, it's fairly limiting in the sense that obviously most of the time we're just going to play tracks from released video games. So it's always kind of nice to kind of feature music from some of these amateurs because I happen to be one of them. So definitely want to give some nice shout outs to some of these guys and gals because they are incredibly talented. So that was very fun. I think we'll probably have to have a remix volume 2 at some point. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this change of pace. We're going to play out with another retro remix review track. This is from Chrono Trigger, and it is Secret of the Forest. We've played the original before, but this is an incredibly well-done remix. Thanks so much for joining us. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm Will Brueggemann.
Keep it here, locked into the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
Peace out, everyone. Have a great week.
See ya.